Odin. Verb of Odin. 15. And represent, are you on page
15? Yeah, 15? Just wondering why there's some line struck out there. What's the import of that? And the 621 and 622?
Yes, I see.
Are those being deleted from there? Or?
Are they deleted? Yeah, I think the clarity is that they are indeed deleted. Okay. Page 16. Page 17. Page 18, and for sure, same thing applies here. Those lines means those are deleted and go. 19. That was the last page. So we are okay with the report. Honorable Mende.
Thank you. Okay, I see, because I see on the expenditure under recommendation
page.
Okay, on the regular expenditure and let me just check quickly because I am on.
We are still dealing with the report.
I'm on the report.
On the report, no?
Okay. But under irregular, why don't I see it now? Under irregular expenditure and but it's quoting the whole amount, there is no breakdown. Where is it now?
It's under what heading?
Financial management, page 15.
Financial management is 6.2. So
yeah,
page 15.
Yeah, page 15.
Yeah. Please proceed.
Yes. The committee notes the regular expenditure and it quotes the whole amount of 2.4 million. And there is no breakdown, and then also on the fruitless and wasteful expenditure. But I do not see where it expresses the concerns we had.
Yeah.
As
remember,
a committee.
This is a report of the committee. In the last committee meeting, we had a report presented to us. So after deliberation, the committee came up with some of these comments and observations. So we are dealing with the report of the committee at this stage.
Yeah, I'm talking about the very same committee. Okay, perhaps because I was not in the last meeting of the day, but the morning meeting we had concerns around the irregular expenditure, which are not noted here.
Yeah. Okay, may I have someone assisting in responding to the question?
No, thanks, Chair. I think Comrade Mente is correct. Page 6 shows the breakdown. If you go to page 6, 322, it shows the breakdown. I think what Comrade Mente is saying, she suggests that we have a line that expresses our concern. So, yeah, no, I was just, because Honorable Mente was saying there's no breakdown, so it's there. And then I thought the other part that she was raising was to express our dissatisfaction or concern. I remember saying that it is there. If you can refer us to where it is.
Yeah, Chairperson, yeah, if I may.
Yeah.
On the first one we have, the committee, however, cautions the recurrence of issues relating to supply chain management processes as such could result that. And in the next one, after the amount, the committee strongly advises that indiscretions relating to the next page, the management of Parliament's finances be condoned, cannot be condoned. Instead, the amount should be recovered or written off if it's possible to recover it.
Thanks very much.
Yeah, Chair, and also on page 16.
Sure.
They must just make sure right on the top, cannot.
Not to be condoned.
The can is, half erased.
Yeah. On page?
The management of parliament's finances not to be condoned. Not to be condoned. Okay.
Yeah.
That thing is...
Okay. Yes. Okay. I think that is clarified. Okay. So the report is agreed to. Thank you very much. For sure, we need to have a mover and a seconder. May we have someone moving for the Honorable Singh moves. Honorable Madara seconds. Thank you very much. And there's no objection. So the report is adopted with that one correction on page 16. So we are done with this item. We are now moving to the next item, which is media performance. Yes, I think okay. Thank you very much. We will now allow Acting Secretary of to Parliament to present on the Parliament's media performance. Over to you, Madam.
Thank you very much, Co-Chair. Thanks, Chairperson. And good afternoon and good evening to members, honourable members of the committee. The first thing is if we were to be allowed to just recap and say that, honourable members, the issues that were raised by this committee from June up until the last meeting in October, in terms of our action lists, we have all flagged them as green, meaning that we have actually submitted and responded to all the issues. And we do have an action list here in the meeting. So I will not delay the time of the meeting by going through them, but I would like to confirm that we addressed those matters in light of the fact that this could possibly be the last meeting for the year. And if there is anything that we've missed, we will gladly respond to those matters. I wish to go to the presentation and the report as submitted to the committee, and that this report obviously captures quarter one and quarter two, which constitutes the media report. The first slide is just a summary of the context under which Parliament strategy is developed, and I will not waste your time on that. It is on the screen. The second slide talks to the strategic outcome-oriented goals of Parliament, and those are our six strategic outcome-oriented goals that have not changed and straddle from 2014 to 2019. The next session is the performance, which is the non-financial information on work done and the assessment that we have analyzed the achievements of the targets. And the graph, or the table, shall I say, the table there just explains that in total we had 29 indicators, in the APP of 17-18, 11 indicators that are applicable during this mid-year period, and then 16 indicators are annual. Two of the indicators we rolled up into one because we were looking at general awareness of Parliament, the work of Parliament. So it was quite artificial to have two instead of just having one of those. What we have done is that indicator is assessed through the research that we commission, and it does become an annual indicator. Of the 7 out of 11 indicators we met in the period under reporting, and that translates at least to date to 68% of performance against our indicators set for the two quarters. And then, of course, 4 of the targets have not been met with respect particularly to the indicators and the way in which they are captured, and we do explain it in the report. I will move on The next slide presents, and I've made summaries of that, and I know that the footnotes are too, I think there's too much content in our slide, but the summary in that slide says that at this point, the actual expenditure of the whole program, the institution is sitting at 44.8, which is 1 billion of the annual budget of 2.4 billion for this first half of the financial year. Spending for the second quarter against the forecast, which is 1.1, that's what we forecast, and we spend about 94% against that forecast as to date. 100% projected expenditure on operational budget, excluding the direct charges, and we do explain it later on. Underspending of 105 is direct, is projected under direct charges, and that is the amount of money that we return to the national revenue. Details of the spend expenditure is in the next slide, where we show for each program. And I'll move on to that slide. First, we start with the economic classification with respect to compensation of members, which stands at 39 at median against the 87 projected for the same period. The indication is that there will be an under expenditure of 105 million. And as I said earlier on, this is surrendered to, because it comes directly from it gets surrendered to National Treasury. We have split compensation between compensation of members and staff, of course, because often we get it as a lump sum. Compensation of staff is at 46 against an annual 96% projection for the same period. Here we do report an under expenditure of 34.5 million. And this is a direct result of the resignations that started from the 1st of April this year. I wish to hasten to say that in that respect, we have and we are in the process of filling 71 positions. These positions straddle throughout the institution. It's filling from committee secretaries, researchers, content advisors, and people in household. We have a breakdown thereof. And we're in the middle of doing those interviews. We do understand that when you employ 6 months later, you cannot necessarily cut down the expenditure because you cannot pay people backwards. However, we also want to indicate that in around that area, we have recommended reprioritization and using part of that budget to offset the deficits that we will look at later on. With respect to goods and services and CAPEX, we're sitting at 42 and 13% respectively in media. And of course, against the projection of 24% and 21% against the projections. We envisage an underspending of 6 million and 2 million respectively at the end of the year. I do want to reiterate that with respect to the transfers to both parties and members' entitlement, we actually are going to have to reprioritize and transfer or augment that amount of 23 and 19 million respectively to those areas. And that will come from the 34 million that is under the compensation which I've referred to. The next slide talks to Program 1, and it shows the performance. I'll go to Program 1. Program 1 on leadership, strategic leadership and governance. Performance in that area still has the underperformance, and this is a carryover from the first quarter where we did not meet the submission and tabling of our report. So that red negative variance in terms of performance or the variance will be carried throughout because it is time-bound. Presenting and tabling submission is time-bound. We cannot necessarily reconcile backwards. However, in terms of PBO, which is the Parliamentary Budget Office, there is definitely an indication of positive variance which is exceeding the target. And in that program, we've actually met and exceeded the target, except for missing out on the tabling of the reports. We have put together some corrective measures, and in this quarter, we actually did meet the target of submitting as well as tabling. The next slide indicates the expenditure in Program 1. The spending pattern, there's 49 million or 45% of the annual budget by mid-year, and spending the second quarter against the forecast is at 92%. The annual budget there is 111. That's obviously, I'm talking to the total, 111, I'm just rounding it off upwards, because on the table it will say 110.6 million. Rounding it upwards will give us 111. The next point is the less spending or under expenditure on the office of the Speaker and the Chairperson, and this budget will be spent in the third and fourth quarter in terms of the plans that they have in this office. The next one is in the PBO, which is at 50% of the annual budget, and of course it's projected to finish its budget at the end of the year. There's no under expenditure that is actually envisaged in that area. The office that is exceeding its budget is that of the Office of Institutions Supporting Democracy. This office has been quite dormant for a while, and it's now been repositioned with the whole OISD and Chapter 10 and Chapter 9 institutions that are being rationalized, and it has had to employ a few more people. 52% of the annual budget and 110% of the second quarter budget as at 30 September has been spent. It is likely that, in fact, we have resolved that reprioritization will either happen within the programs or we will have to do a variance between programs. And all the variances and the movement of budget is approved by the executive authority through our submission. I'm moving on to Program 2, First Performance. This program has got, in terms of its indicators, total indicators 5. Target achieved is 1. Then we have 3 annual targets that will actually be reported at the end of the fourth quarter. And we have all those areas there. A lot of it has got to do with the completion of programs and courses for members. And it will be, the ratings will be the completion of courses by members, which we then calculate backwards to see if we've reached the target that we've set ourselves. And the bulk of that program in particular is the budget thereof is actually derived from donor funding of the EU, which we do report on. Again, the program also is responsible for the legislative work, and currently there has been a developed draft legislative bill, which has been dealt with in the area of the Speaker's Forum. I'm going to move now to Program 2. This program constitutes of those divisions, the Office of the Secretary, FMO, Internal Audit, Strategy Management and Governance, Legislative Sector Support, Register of Members' Interest. Quick one, spending patterns then. The program at the total level has actually spent 73 million, which is 41% of its annual budget. And by mid-year, against the second quarter forecast, it is at 81%. Underspending is observable in the Office of the Secretary, given the conditions and the fact that the budget that was spent there is not spent in line with the fact that the Secretary is on special leave. The Financial Management Office, it's sitting at 54. The underspend there has already been declared by that office, and in fact, I think we have 888,000 rands, which we're going to move from that program and make sure that it is actually forwarded to or spent or reallocated to areas where there is overspent. Strategy and management governance, it's sitting at 25%. A new office, and that is only, I think, compensation and no CAPEX in there. The Office of the Registrar of Members' Interest has got quite a small budget, sitting at 43% as we speak. and then LSS, which is the legislative support sector, largely on donor funding, and there's nothing we can do with that budget. It comes from the EU. They're sitting at 29% of spending to date. Let me move to Program 3. Program 3 is the core business constituting of those various divisions with the indicators as outlined on that slide. I will not waste time to read through them. However, I do want to bring to the attention of the members that there are about one, two, three, four areas where we have now revisited the indicators, because the indicators were more at an input level and they were more of project. It was developing a model or ensure a more developing and implementing models. In the new APP that we will present right after this presentation, we've revisited those indicators and changed them into outcome-based. And therefore, members will see that we will be referring to oversight accountability indices, and we will actually explain how we're going to be reporting going forward. Currently, though, what we're reporting on is more narrative, so it cannot be quantified, so we can't use quantitative analysis. We just present it as quality. And in it, we're arguing that a lot of work called to Parliament has been done, and we capture exactly what has been done. And in it, we've actually isolated issues such as against oversight, how many oversight visits have happened, quarterly reports that have been submitted, statutory appointments done. We also report on the high-level panel, bills that have been processed in the quarter, and then interventions in line with the various indicators that we put. Like I say, we will actually we have revisited those areas and changed them. I'll move on. Let me just refer to the very last one, which is a negative 100, that is a red. This is indeed an indicator that we put together with the view that we'll be able to assess and monitor international instruments and instruments that got to do with the bilaterals, how, to what extent do Parliament implement or even guide the implementation of protocols through multilaterals and bilaterals. I have to say to honourable members that we struggle to evolve an indicator around that area, and in fact what we're going to do is revisit and provide a better reading, a better measurable technical descriptor, and that's work that we're doing. The program 3 also, what we do there, we assess and evaluate the services that we provide to members. To date, we can say out of 12 indicators, we have achieved 9 and at 100%, and that the graphs indicate those areas. The areas where we still have weaknesses, but at a higher level, though, it is the minutes, turnaround time on minutes, reports on time, interpretation on time. And members will realize that at least we average 90%, except for the interpretation, which is sitting at 69%. Yeah, but there has been major improvements there, and we do indicate the fact that the impact there would be the vacancies, which we are addressing, as I've referred to earlier on. I think the next slide just indicates the models that I was referring to, that we are now working on those models to actually develop indices. And those indices will then become outcome indicators. And we're using documents like that of the UNDP, the SDGs, and we also are using the IPU measuring tool that assesses the oversight and accountability levels of Parliament, and we anchor in that on Chapter 1 of the Constitution, which defines what the role of Parliament is. This process we are going to engage with members because it is actually an outcome that has to be driven by members, the extent to which the public feels that Parliament does involve them. Moving on, the expenditure in terms of core business. The total expenditure in that program is 265 million, that is sitting as 45% of the annual budget. Spending on the second quarter, at the end of the second quarter against the forecast, is at 93. There's quite an equivalence there. there are certain areas that where there will be some overspend in that area. Except for the Office of the Acting Secretary to the National, the Acting Secretary to Corps, all the other divisions are actually on par in terms of their focus, and we do provide the figures as outlined in there. We envisage an underspending of $17 million on compensation of employees as at the end of September. As I've indicated, that a lot of that has got to do with resignations and people moving out of Parliament. And then, of course, there is an under expenditure because we still haven't received all of the costs related to taking Parliament to the people, and those figures will definitely change on in time. Performance trends in Program 4. Unfortunately, or well, I'm not sure I'm saying unfortunately. Fortunately, this area, I can say we are on track, but a lot of it has got to do with the surveys. We've got a client satisfaction survey. We've got a public population awareness survey that we're doing. We also have universal access, which is an ICT indicator, which is a non-law indicator, accessing members and, of course, officials on various platforms of ICTs as an enabler. We've got a client satisfaction study where we assess the satisfaction of both internal and external stakeholders, which touches or cuts across household and safety. And I do know that we are collating data. Surveys have been sent out. They're computer-based. They're all CBI. And we would like to encourage members to really complete those questionnaires because they assist us to see if our services are at the satisfactory level and where they should be improved. And then, of course, the last indicator is that on, or performance indicator is on talent management, where we have an annual index that looks at various variables. We did share the TMI, the talent management indicator, with the committee when we were presenting the human resources report quite earlier in the year. And the next slide just explains exactly what I was explaining as to how we're actually going to be measuring that area of performance, and that we are on track. What we try to do is make sure that each quarter, each division provides the narrative around the milestones. So what's outlined there is the milestones the client satisfaction survey, so that we're able to track it and make sure that we do commission that research on time. With respect to the program and the expenditure, total program expenditure is sitting at $158 million, which is 43% of the annual budget. And at the second quarter, the forecast was sitting at 89. Expenditure was sitting at 89 against the forecast. I can just flag the areas of underspend. Human resources is at 41%. And primarily because we've had to reposition the way in which we were going to do re-engineering and processing a lot of work which we had commissioned to KPMG, we've had to revoke. In fact, they had completed phase one of our HR processes, and we've actually taken back, internalized, we're using our OD to reposition the institution and ensure that we complete the whole reorganization of the institution. And the rest of the budget there is as a result of the surveys I was talking to. Except for ICT, wherein the budget is sitting at 40% expenditure, there we process in tools of trade like laptops in bulk and licenses to pay off the software, which are normally towards the end of the year, and they actually are quantified in dollars. Actually, under expenditure in that area, in that program, will be $11 million from what we are assessing. And we give you a breakdown of the $11 million. Out of that is $6 million of compensation of employees. And then, of course, we've got goods and services at $3 million and CAPEX at $2 million for the year. Program 5, which is largely, this is a transaction between repaying and refunding members of parliament on all the expenditure of travel. We've set ourselves an average of 2 days turnaround time to reimburse members. I must hasten to say that somewhere we do have challenges. we're trying to reduce the turnaround time to 2 days of refunding. However, we're still sitting at about 2.5. We have exceeded the target, actually, but we have, again, sort of revisiting that area because we do have challenges sometimes when there's a spike of claims, and indeed we chase after making sure that members are refunded on time because it impacts on their constituency work. Then, of course, the last one is the percentage of payments made compliant to policy. These are transfers to political parties. These are done as and when political parties provide us with reconciled statements and account audited statements for chunks of their payments. The Program 5, which is our last program, looks at associated services. I cannot say much about that. This is budget that goes in and into our budget allocation and right out of our budget allocation. I can say that we are seeing an over-expenditure, and of course in that area we are having to find budget, which we are finding, to offset the shortfall, which is historical. When we presented, we indicated that this is an area where we always get a budget under, and we've always used our retained funds, but currently we do not have any retained funds at all. And it is perpetually presenting itself as a challenge. And I'd like at some stage the CFO to talk about the work that we've been doing with officials at National Treasury to try and address the rebasing of our budget. Included in that is that area of the associated charges. The last slide is spending patterns on the members' remuneration. Members' remuneration is sitting at 39, and I think members can pick up that if we're sitting at 39 mid-year, we're obviously going to be underspending by 105. And we're providing you with the history that I think even in the last meetings we've always said that this is an area where we've always underspent, whilst on the other one, the directors, we overspend. On associated charges we spend, we underspend, overspend. And in this area, we actually underspend. And it's historical, and at the end there, we provide members with an MTF that 16-17, 17-18, 15-16, we've continuously underspent. At this stage, we're going to be underspending by 105 million, and it will be returned to the National Revenue Fund as per the Act of Parliament. Way forward. We thought we should share with the committee chairpersons that we are confident that we will actually meet the targets of strategic plan of 2014-2015 APP of this current financial year, that we're sitting at 68% of at least the set indicators, that in fact the indicators that are delayed, we are monitoring them through action plans and on a monthly basis observing our milestones. We also want to emphasize the fact that there is constraints with respect to the budgetary pressures, and that we have worked in earnest to have meetings with the officials in Treasury. There was a meeting finally on the 22nd of October between the Executive Authority and the Minister of Finance with the senior managers, and it was indicated to us that it's very unlikely. Of course, we are aware of the shrinking fiscals of the country, although the discussions with them was the extent to which they could actually rebase our budget allocators by reducing from the budget that has always been sent to them. Of course, those are dispensed differently. The other one is a direct, and a national revenue fund is not appropriated, and there's no way in which they legally can actually let us retain the 105 million, so the budget is as is. And then the last point is that we have reviewed the APP of 17-18. We have submitted it to, and of course the 18-19, we've submitted to the Executive Authority, and that has been tabled. And then we are going to be making a summary presentation to the committee on that, in that area. That's the end of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you.
Honorable Burmeister, Acting Secretary to Parliament, for the presentation. We are now opening the floor for discussion in terms of questions, inputs, comments by honorable members. Honorable Yes Hilton, stand here.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you very much, Ms. Teal, once again for a very comprehensive and thorough presentation. It's greatly appreciated. Just in terms of page 10, is it? The purpose of the institution supporting democracy. You indicated that there was going to be some realignment there. I'm sure you'd be aware that we've experienced a major problem with that particular department as it relates to the processing of reports of Chapter 9. Would you be able to just explain how how we intend to go into a bit more detail and how we intend to improve that office's functioning, because it really has let us down on several occasions in Parliament, where we've had to find out about reports that have been completed by the Chapter 9 only when they make contact and say, well, no one's taking these things seriously. Thanks.
Thank you. Honorable Singh?
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the presentation, team. With regard to the slide 21, the average number of days to reimburse members, 2.7, I see you want to reduce it to 2 days. But I must say that, as a member, there's an excellent turnaround from that department in terms of payments. And what I'd like to know is, do they have the full complement of staff, or are those staff in there being overworked? So that's something that I'd like to know. And then with the members' remuneration and the 39% annual budget. Now, is this underspend there because you budget for an increase, and do you budget for an increase annually? And then if an increase doesn't come through, then it impacts on you. And what I'd like to know is, I think the Commissioner for Remuneration has recommended 4.6% increase. Have you received any notification from the Office of the President that increase has been accepted? And if not, why not? And when do you expect that correspondence to come through? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Singh. Honorable Coleman? I'm sorry. I think Honorable Meta had her hand up first. Sure.
Thanks, Chair. Now, Chair, it's on page 7, the underspending on employees, compensation of employees. I see you have underspent for 46 and the projections are 96%, which is the shortfall would be 4%. However, the actual amount is 34 million. So 34 million, how many people have resigned that are getting paid 34 million? And how much do they earn, those people? Because it looks like a mass resignation if it's 34 million shortfall.
Honorable Coleman?
Thank you. Also on that same question, you see, I'm not too sure whether this is the only reason of resignation. Because as the Acting Secretary has indicated, I think there are posts that have not been filled, and I think there are critical posts that are standing. Some haven't been filled for more than 2 years now or so. And when we talk of the support staff for committees, that's where it comes in. And we continue to underspend, and yet we are not filling the post. I just want to understand why is it so difficult to do so. I understand that some are in the process of being filled, but if we can be given full briefing as to what is what, so that we understand exactly which posts have been filled. And we understand those that have resigned now, it's understandable. But, I mean, you can't have a post for 2 years or more. And then, sorry, just bear with me. I just also want to find out, in terms of the PBO support to committees, I know they normally issue out reviews, but I just want to know whether are we moving to a situation where we will be having committees, of course, clustered in a way that they would be assisted by that office instead of assisting, you know, the only the finance and appropriation committees. And then the last one. No, we can pass. I can't see it anymore. We can pass.
Okay. Thanks, Honorable Coleman. Honorable Waters.
Thank you, Chair. Just two things. Throughout the presentation, we see underfunding, particularly for core business, but not for allowances to political parties. Once again, that's overspend. Can I ask why? I mean, surely if a party is entitled to X amount of rand, that's it, whatever's budgeted. I don't understand how you can overspend on allowances to political parties. It was a question I raised in the last meeting, if you recall, and I haven't received an answer. Do you remember, Chair? So if we could get some clarity on that. And then just one quick point on stats. On page 24... it states that 7 out of 11 indicators have been met, and that 68%, it's actually 63%, just mathematical thing. Yeah.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stian Eisthielsen.
You can just call me John, I think it's easier, Chair, thanks. just on page 6, sorry, I missed it in the first round. The projected underspend of 105 million on the direct charges. We're projecting for that underspending. Is there any way we could put in measures now to try and use that money or to ensure that we don't have that underspend? Because it would be a shame to have to send it back to the NRF, you know, when we have so many when you need to in Parliament. Is there a strategy to look at how we could try and avoid that underspend by the end of the year? Thanks.
Thank you, Honourable Stian Hissen. Sure.
I just want to understand, after midterm, can you still do the environment? You can. Oh, okay.
Yeah. Thank you. Are there further questions? Also from my side, in terms of annual targets that are not broken into monthly or quarterly targets, I want to check, how do you monitor those? Because it looks like you can only look at those at the end of the financial year. And my view is at that time it will be very late to can intervene. And also the under expenditure in the offices of the chairperson and national chairperson and the speaker. On account of trips that are only going to be undertaken, I think, in the third quarter or fourth quarter. You are not explaining as to whether those trips were supposed to have been undertaken in the previous quarters or not. Can you just clarify that part? Sure. Coach, are you fine? Okay, over to you, Secretary.
Thank you very much for the questions. And certainly my colleagues are going to assist with some of them. Let me start with the first one, Member Stian Hazen. Indeed, what the office has done now is we were shared and presented with a strategy to first find out what other functions are done by procedural people in both the NCOP and NA before we start thinking we need warm bodies. So they've provided us with a strategy and also how they're going to be managing reports of Chapter 9 and Chapter 10, and also ensuring that their board members are appointed in good time. And that type of strategy, they're going to be, they have, I think, presented it to the Deputy Speaker. Out of that, they have asked for instance, now they're dealing with the integration of Chapter 9 and Chapter 10, institutions, and they have a whole program where there's consultations around rationalizing those entities. However, the work of Parliament is being re-anchored and repositioned. They will need personnel, and what we try to do is first to rationalize within ourselves, because we have an employment population of 1,300 people in Parliament, and our assessment is that not all of us are fully gainfully employed. So we're starting by looking at that, but where they need specialists, that will be advertised, and we will, by next year, we will have a better functioning office. And then the staff of the, indeed it's correct, the staff that support members, which is efficient, it does actually get overstretched. I remember members were calling me at some stage because you find some people have to go write exams, and then the turnaround and refunding does get impacted on. We are restructuring that office to make sure that also there's different layers of responsibility and accountability is done properly. So we're quite aware of it. The manager, Mr. Mavuso, is here working in that area. With respect to the commission on the increases, we haven't had any communication from the presidency since the report is being dealt with by the commission and not us directly. On the compensation of members, whether we budget for an increase every year, CFO can talk about that one. 34 million. It is resignations from the 1st of April this year, cumulatively, and that would be the salaries. What we have here is the 71 adverts that we put through for filling of the positions. But truth be told, that salary, when you miss 2 months, you can't pay a person backwards. So we are going to have an under expenditure. Initially, we did an assessment of critical positions, primarily because when it started, what happened is National Treasury cut from personnel without consulting Parliament, 33 million. And then they further cut 113 CFO on personnel again, without necessarily asking whether we need warm bodies, because it was applied right across government. And when we had a discussion with them, they realized that Parliament is labor intensive, for lack of a better word, delivered through people. So what we then did, honorable members, we decided that let's go slow on employees. And then we did have an analysis of the core business, all critical positions. By the time we started advertising, there was quite a lot of a backlog, and partly we're dealing with it. We can reassure you that by the time members come back, we shall have dealt with a lot of critical areas in employed. However, this is a continuous, I think when we had our last meeting with the DG and the DGG, and I think the head of the budget division in National Treasury, they did acknowledge the fact that they have not consulted with Parliament, they have cut our budget, and they focused on just a number of personnel, and they looked at the fact that there's just too many vacancies in Parliament, and some of them were sitting for 2 years. Indeed, it's true. We also, then they acknowledged that if they have to do any revision of budget, we need to have a process and a system. I know that my colleagues are meeting with Treasury officials next week again to look at how we fit into the budgeting cycle, because we were not fitting properly into the budgeting cycle of National Treasury. And there's no other way to get budget except from Treasury. So we're sort of correcting ourselves backwards, but we're moving from a back foot. We can acknowledge that. We're speeding up. Our turnaround for filling position was sitting at 20 weeks. We're trying to reduce that. And we're hoping that we're cracking it today. We're interviewing a few, and each one of the managers here have been sitting in panels throughout the week. We're doing the best, and we're quite aware that it has impact on the work of members. The PBO naturally, when it was established, they were hoping to have at least close on 20 to 25 specialists. They are now sitting at about 11. So indeed, that's an area that needs to be improved on. But again, when the PBO was established, Honorable Members Chair, we didn't do the basics of costing the establishment of the office. Therefore, the office was funded from unspent funds. It was our baseline was never adjusted to ensure that the PBO has a budget of its own, much as it will be in the budget of Parliament. So it's an unfunded office legally. It is also, even the OISD is an unfunded office. So those are some of the requests we submitted to Treasury to say, if we're to run an effective PBO, this is how much it costs. And we have actually requested budget from National Treasury, but it's a long shot, primarily because of the status and what they've explained to us. Can I just ask CFO to deal with the allowance to the party CFO? Indeed, Honourable Waters, you're right. It's a question we thought we had answered it. You have asked it more than once. In my action list, I thought we have answered it, and we wish to apologize if we haven't. If we can't answer it sufficiently, we can submit a written response to it. But I'll leave it to the CFO. CFO? I'll come back to the annual target.
CFO, sure. Thank you, Honourable Co-Chairperson and Honourable Members. The question with regards to the projected or forecasted overspending on political party funding goes back 3 years, mainly because of the underfunding that has always been the case on these two areas, both the transfers to political parties as well as members' entitlements. So what we have actually done, we have escalated and discussed that with National Treasury to ensure that, because they have actually considered the fact that when they did the budget cut, they did not consult, and the direct impact of those cuts and the underfunding affected these two areas. And how we have been surviving for the past 3 years is mainly and solely on unspent funds, which is why even now we are then saying, in order to be able to address those two areas, then the savings that have already been realized from the 1st of April to date on the compensation of employees may then have to, as a process of adjustment now, be directed to be able to address that area. But going forward, it is not an ideal situation, which is why we again wrote to Treasury for them to be able to review that space and ensure that those funds are properly budgeted for going forward. CFO, do you want to come in, Co-Chair?
There's a question. Oh, I hadn't finished.
Wants to come in.
You know, you can respond to it with the next question. Unless I heard you wrong, Acting Secretary, you said that the funding for the PBO and the OSD is a long shot. Now, if that is a long shot, then I think we need to take a decision, because that's probably the heart of parliamentary work. So we must take a decision. I mean, I would rather see we divert funds from something else, but there's no way that the PBO can be sabotaged. And neither is there any way that the OSDs can be sabotaged. So I do think, Honourable Members, that if that's what they're saying to us, they must confirm it. And having confirmed it, I think if there's any intervention that we need to make, that's the intervention that we need to make, because there's just no way that we can have a money bill being put into place to be supported by the PBO, and then you go and sabotage it, want of a better word, by not funding it. So I thought I must raise that, and if you can confirm that we understood you, or I understood you correctly, because then we must discuss it on our side. Thanks, Chair.
Over to you, Sir.
Yes, I can confirm that when we had the first meeting, and CFO will give the figures, we had put aside all the offices that were not included in our budget baseline, and we quantified. And that was submitted as an amendment to National Treasury to revisit our baseline. Because initially we were monitoring the unspent funds. So that's where we're getting the budget from. So currently the PBO is supported through the one or the 2 billion that Parliament receives, and that 2 billion also includes members. So if we reduce that, we can even show members and share with yourself the real budget of Parliament. to run Parliament operations. So we can confirm that the CFO will provide members with a breakdown of the costing of the PBO and what we had requested for, as well as the OISD, and I think other unfunded programs that we've been funding through the unspent budget, the unspent budget money that we have been using. So I can confirm that, and the executive authority is very sure, it's aware of it. Thanks. There's a question I would like to answer, if you allow me. The one on annual targets. I think maybe I rattled very quickly through it. What we do have quarterly targets for those annual targets. They are annualized, but on a quarterly basis, we track milestones. So the divisions will have, let me give an example. The survey on awareness of the work of Parliament by the population of South Africa. We have milestones because we know that the survey is conducted. Fieldwork is done September, October. We receive the report first week of December. So we have the milestones. So that's how we monitor most of this. And each one of us submits to PMU, which is our monitoring unit. We submit our monthly reports in a narrative form.
Thanks, Chairperson. There's also a question Honorable Steen has asked with regards to how can we avoid the possible underspending on direct charges. We have also returned to National Treasury on that regard, but it appears they can do a baseline review only for 18-19, but for 17-18 they are unable to do so. So it appears we are going to have that to return it to them.
And then an expedition in the offices of the National Chairperson and the Speaker.
Yes, and the colleagues in those offices provided us with their plans for the third and the fourth quarter, and that some of the visits were cancelled or postponed because of commitments. So they've carried over the budget.
Honourable Mende.
Thank you, Chair. On the PPO office, is there a reason provided why it's not funded? Because I think we're not in Parliament by that time. The establishment of the PPO was apparently supposed to be a separate called an entity or whatever to Parliament. So isn't it a reason why they don't provide financial support for it through Parliament with the intention of driving it the way of being a standalone department from Parliament?
If I can just follow up on that question for the answer.
Honorable Singh?
Yeah. You see, this goes back to one of our fundamental problems in Parliament, and it's been there for 23 years, whatever it is we are here. Whenever legislation is brought through to a committee and considered as a bill, and then passed as an act, one of the things they require, because I've been in the executive, so I know, is the financial implications of that legislation. Right. And more often than not, that financial implication is not stated. Even though the bill goes through the cabinet process, comes through committee process, and then even gets passed. Now that's the tragedy of the PBO. And the PBO, funny enough, was our bill. It was Parliament's bill, not a department's bill. So we ourselves have fallen foul of what we are supposed to be doing. And I think we've got to make a strong case. Maybe in the haste of getting the bill through, because at that time we needed some mechanism to monitor the executive and treasury, and they didn't want it. The Minister of Finance was not prepared to table a bill in terms of the Constitution. So Parliament had to take the initiative. So I think we must go back to the beginning. And early on in another forum, Chairs, I spoke about the need to revisit that bill in terms of the time frames we set for monitoring and going back to the executive and amending budgets. We can't do it within the time frames that we put there. Some of us who were there on that committee in its inception know that. We just put it as a point of departure. So we really need to look at that bill, recost it, and make sure we have a properly functioning PBO. Otherwise, the executive is going to, till the cows come home, present a budget and get that budget passed by us, because we don't have the wherewithal to question, you know, what's in that and go into detail.
Thank you very much, Honorable Stenhausen.
Thanks very much, Chair. I think it's an important discussion for us to have because, you know, that PBO, you know, I don't think is being used and doing is what everything we would like it to be doing. And I think its big constraint is funding. But the problem is that the fiscal envelope that we're operating in now is not a very welcoming environment for us. And it's highly unlikely that Parliament's going to get more money. In fact, I think that we're probably going to get some rather bad news in the early part of next year about our budget. So what we're going to have to do is try and find ways within the envelope that we currently have to identify savings. This is going to be difficult because, you know, the oversight and accountability model that was, or the public participation model that was adopted yesterday, has now got a burden of a whole lot of other functions that we're going to have to be doing during the year. Things like, you know, taking committees to the people, taking Parliament to the people, etc., that we've never done before. So, I'm concerned about how we find those funds now to staff the PBO, given the fact that there's now even more, you know, funding pressure that's going to be putting us to now meet the thresholds of the public participation model.
Commend Honorable Stenhausen. You want to have another bite?
Just a follow-up. Chair, the salaries money, you know, the members of the underspend. Now, you said it's a direct charge. Now, what's the implication of a direct charge? Can that money not be diverted within, or is it just four salaries, full stop? If you don't spend, you don't spend. Can't the part of the negotiations with Treasury, and that's a question my honourable member wanted me to ask, would Treasury be that, well, we are giving you money back, but we need money. So it's robbing Peter to pay Paul, or six of one, half a dozen of the other.
Chair, just for a point of information, the Moneyballs Act is currently under review by the Standing Committee on Finance, and it has to be completed before the national budget is tabled, 2018. The point made about the pressure on the PBO in terms of producing more, definitely yes, because they have to appoint more qualified people to serve us in the committees. And that is also a frustration on their side. It will help if this committee puts a resolution to assist the review of the Moneyballs Act.
Thanks for that proposal. Honorable Isaac, you want to? Honorable Co-Chair?
Chair, I think Honorable De Beer has covered me. I don't think we can leave it as it is. Even if it means that we get a mandate to highlight this to the accounting authorities from this year, I think we need to do that. I mean, it has implications on the running of Parliament. It has implications on staff. So it can't be something that we leave to chance, and it can't be something that appears in our minutes. Maybe we must resolve that this is a matter that has been brought to our attention through our oversight, and as Parliament, we would want to get a idea how they're going to rescue the situation and give them a timeline so that between them and the accounting officers, they come back with a timeline which we then can critique and accept or reject. That's the proposal that I'm putting on the table, and if members agree to that, then we can draft a letter to the executive authority and the leadership and ask them to do it for us and bring it back to us by the end of the year or something like that, because as you say, there's a money bill process that's going on. So my firm proposal, Chair, is that we get a mandate from the House that we raise it and the urgency, and also requesting how they're going to resolve the problem.
Are we agreed to the proposal?
Agreed.
And Acting Secretary, you want to comment on other issues raised, or are you fine?
No, thank you very much, Chair. I think the matters have been addressed. Thank you.
Thank you very much. It looks like we have done justice to
to the presentation, at least in terms of discussions, issues that we have been able to raise, and I think ultimately the resolution that we have just adopted. So I think we are passing this item on that note. May we then allow the Acting Secretary to present the next item, which is the review of the APP. Am I right? Oh, before that, Co-Chair?
Can I indulge on you that we have a five-minute break? I think there's food out there. To allow honourable members to grab, we can have a working lunch, but I'm sure if we had a five-minute break and members can have something to eat and drink. But if they choose to carry on, it means that you'll